How's it going this week, Craig?
It's good, man. It's good. It's been a really busy week. I've been this is kind of a long tangent, I guess, but we've started offering free like consultation calls to all customers that are on trial. And so I
for any of your products?
Busy. Yeah. Yep. Yeah.
Wow.
So between you know the hundreds of trials we get a month for Castos and taking sales calls for Podcast Motor, I've been on the phone a lot, and it's really great. I mean, it is amazing the stuff that you hear, and it's cool because it codifies a little bit like, yeah, I'm hearing the same thing over and over and over and over. So it's either like a messaging or a product problem, or it's just a really hard thing. And like, we just need to educate as best we can. Or like what kind of pre-packaged education and marketing can we give to eliminate these questions?
What was the catalyst that led you to make that decision? Because like when I first joined SaberSim, I was like, all right, I want to get on calls. That's kind of like what I do whenever I join a new company or whatever it may be, is just like get on calls, learn as much as I can. But like, I don't do it ongoing. And I think I'm getting like anxiety just thinking about adding like a calendar link to our trial sequence. And so like, what caused you at this point in the business to say, like, all right, I need to get on some more calls?
Yeah. So we've been working on our trial to paid conversion ratio for a while. So kind of the two things we've been working on is visitor to trial, like on the site, getting that up. And that's up to a pretty good spot, like almost 2% now, which I think is pretty good. And then getting our trial to paid conversion. And so we don't ask for credit card up front. And so trying to get that, you know, as high as possible. And I think we're kind of at the low to mid range of good. But with both of those, I feel like we've already, like if someone's already on the site, we've already done a lot of work. Let's get them to start a trial. And then if they start a trial, they've even done more work, or we've done more work, and they've shown commitment. And so what do we need to do to bring them kind of over the hump? And so it's just kind of like, it's almost low hanging fruit in a way, or like high leverage work, that like they're already really close to becoming a paying customer and a happy like long-term paying customer. What can we do to try to help and nudge, in both of those? So yeah, I mean, it was really kind of spurred by, I was chatting with Ward from Memberspace, and they do it as well. And he said, it's just great. It helps across the board. And so I have a handful of calls every day at this point. And it's not all people in trial. Like some of it is partner calls and some of it is sales calls, but yeah, I have a handful of calls every day. So like two hours of my day is on Zoom with customers. And yeah, it's wild. I mean, you hear everything, everything under the sun. But it's cool to keep a pulse on that.
Do you plan to do this kind of indefinitely, like for the foreseeable future? Is it a temporary thing to just like get to the spot where you kind of have a clear list of priorities, or what's the intention there?
Yeah, so I think we as a company will continue to do it.
Okay.
Because we're seeing the benefit. And I think what will happen is that Matt Medeiros is our director of podcaster success. He's just about a month and a half on the job, and is really busy with a bunch of stuff, but us starting to split that responsibility a bit, so kind of sharing a Calendly link or something, is something that will be kind of the next step. And then ultimately, you know, him and or like a customer service person being the ones to take most of those like success calls, I think is ultimately what we need to do. But I think it's a pretty decent use of my time right now. Yeah.
What kind of things have you been finding? Is it like a balance between, okay, here's where, in terms of the UX, we just need to make things clearer. Here's features where we're missing, like do whatever else it may be. Like, is there any one category that kind of is jumping out as being more of a bottleneck than the other?
Yeah, it's almost entirely in this, like, I don't understand how podcasting works bucket. Right. It's like,
okay,
you can relate, right? From your own show, is like, what is a feed? I'm on WordPress. Why do I need a host? Why can't I just self-host my files? I have this feed. What do I do with it? And then like, how do I get people to listen? And it's just complicated, you know, like if you look at our competitors, they're all trying very hard to educate people. And we have a bunch on like our YouTube channel about this stuff. But I think there's a certain type of customer that just wants to hear it, you know, from the horse's mouth. And that's fair.
I mean, we get this is something that I struggle with, where it's like people that are, so our company, we make tools for daily fantasy sports, and we've done really well with SEO. Our approach has always been on usability, just kind of simplifying the process that basically all the other tools make very complicated. But by doing that, when we've seen a large uptick in trials, a lot of those are coming from people completely new to the space. It's not like they're switching from one tool to us. We do get a good amount of that, but like our growth has really come from people. This is the first time they've used a tool like ours, a lineup optimizer is what they're called. And like, I always just like in the back of my head, it's just like, are these people ever going to be good customers? Like, is it worth it for me to spend this much time kind of handholding people who are just in the very beginning of their kind of adventure in this space? And like, they're going to be on a lower tier plan. They're probably going to churn quickly. And I guess if I educate them enough, that's going to lower the churn. But I am just always thinking like, how does this balance out against the market that I know is much more dependable, takes much less work, and just kind of all of that. So like, how are you thinking about those things? Are you at a point where you feel like this is the opportunity for growth, is really capitalizing on people new to the space, or what kind of is the thought process behind that?
Yeah. No, it's a really good question. So like we do some things in onboarding to present this call to just certain people.
Okay.
Or present it to them earlier in the trial. And we found that presenting it to them early in the trial, there's a much bigger adoption of it, and presenting it to certain kind of cohorts of the trial, you know, population changes that too. And so we're doing a couple of different things there, around kind of what we know of a user and the things they've done to engage in the platform.
Are you trying to find people who have engaged? Like, is this for people who have taken positive steps, or the other way around, where it's like people haven't done anything, we're reaching out to them?
Kind of both. Yeah.
Okay.
Kind of both. Like that they've gotten to a point, but they're not all the way there. Obviously we don't send this to people that have started an account, created a podcast, published an episode, and have like, you know, shown that their feed is, you know, live on iTunes.
Yeah.
Like that. But so we're sending it to people that kind of got started but didn't get all the way home.
Okay.
Yeah. And I think the thing that I hope is, and I shouldn't hope, but we should try to have some data around this, but it's just too early. And it's kind of like, I look at it on a cohort level, because I know that there are some people that are not ideal customers, you know, that we're talking to, that just like, they're never going to get it. They're never going to be successful. But I've talked to people that on paper, I never would have guessed would be really, really, really good customers. And getting on the phone with them, you know, uncovers that like, wow, they just had this one thing they had a trouble with, and now they're like signing up for $100 a month plan. Because we got a chance to talk about this thing. So I guess like part of it is a little like customer discovery and customer segmentation, but also like a little bit of sales, you know, like, cause I think some people get in and they're in a trial, they're not entirely sold yet.
Right.
So like selling on the brand a little bit, you know, like, hey, are any other companies doing this? You know, like, hey, that means a lot, I think, to you as you know, a customer. But also like, hey, did you know we do this thing? Do you know we did this thing? We're the only ones that have this. That a lot of people just like, as much as we try on the marketing side, like they don't read the website, you know? So I don't know. That's how I justify it, I guess.
And then do you view this as kind of like the learnings are obviously valuable, and I'm sure it's not going to be like purely operating in a silo where like, the call, each individual call is just kind of its own thing. But like, how is it driving the roadmap for the product? Like, are you at the point, I know it's just still early in this kind of experiment with it, but like, are you at the point where you're shifting your priorities around based on this? Or is it really something where this is kind of more just a sales call. We'll try to explain things to them and move on to the next one.
Yeah. I mean, that kind of like resource allocation question is a big one. And like, we certainly don't have a nail, and I'd love to hear how you guys do it. But I think this informs us from like a product and UX experience a fair bit, because it's but then it's kind of like biased, right? Because it's only like the people that raise their hand and say like, I have a problem, I need help. So it definitely like talks to like general issues that people have conceptually and like in the app. And so I bring that back into the product cycle a little bit, but honestly, not a lot so far. But maybe just kind of keeps it top of mind for me for in the future. But generally, one, kind of like what's going on with you these days? And then I'd love to kind of circle back and talk about this, because I think it's a big thing of like, we have a bajillion things we want to do and only 7 people. Like, how do we decide what to do? But I'd love to hear kind of what's new with you.
Yeah, it's been busy. We, at the time of this recording, we just kind of got through the first week of football. And for us, the business is becoming less and less seasonal in that it used to be when I first joined, we would double at the start of baseball season and then slowly lose customers until football started, and slowly lose customers. And so there'd be these huge spikes and then it would go down. And now we still are seeing spikes for the new seasons to start. But as we've kind of expanded out the product, it's flattened out the in-between kind of valleys. But there's still always just a huge push at the start of every season. And with this year being weird with all the professional sports, like they all have kind of started honestly within like a little over a month. And so at every new season, even if your systems are the same, there's always weirdness with data. We're constantly like improving our infrastructure. And then this is kind of like the real life stress test of it. So there's just been a lot of things we've had to line up for this period. And honestly, it all came together really well. There were more issues around the data than we wanted, but there were basically no issues around the infrastructure. And it's like,
that's awesome.
Those infrastructure issues are what like drive me nuts, because it's like when something goes wrong there, it's impacting everyone or a significant number of our customers. Where the data things, it's like, oh, we missed this player because there's 2 players with the same name, or it's just like much smaller things that still matter, but it's not like bringing the site down or making it inoperable or whatever else. And so there were still things we had to sort out. There's still a lot we want to improve on, but it was like the sanest launch to a season. And so now we're just kind of waiting to see how those, we had a huge influx of trials, and it's kind of seeing how those convert, and just trying to figure out what the priorities are from here. And so it's like, I feel a little bit of a relief right now. Like we made it through.
Cautiously optimistic.
Yeah. Yeah. And so, but now it's just like, shit, there's still a ton of stuff we have to do. What do we work on now? The things I wanted to have in place before this aren't there. And so it's just kind of a constant juggling of all the different priorities and of everything that's going on, trying to keep the ship pointed in the right direction, assuming it is in the right direction, is really where we're at right now.
And so you feel like the kind of back-end stuff and infrastructure stuff that y'all did in some of this kind of quieter time has paid off? Like, have y'all done like a retro on that kind of bit of development time, or just kind of intuitively you feel like it was time well spent based on how things went this week?
We have nowhere near enough of a thorough like development process. So like I don't even know what a development like retroactive retrospective would look like. So we have not done one of those, but intuitively we are very happy with how things are. We've kind of just switched a key piece of the infrastructure that really all the scaling depends on to just something that scales with much less like DevOps work from us, while keeping costs lower. So if we want to geek out a little bit, we're on Google Cloud platform, The app was originally built entirely using App Engine. All this data collectors, all the API, just literally everything was built on App Engine, which is very easy to work with. It kind of handles scaling for you. It can spin up new instances practically instantly, but like it's charged in 15-minute increments. And a lot of these processes were taking like seconds. So when we first came on board and started growing quickly, our costs ballooned. We brought in kind of like a DevOps consultant to like audit this and like give us a game plan to clean things up. And we've just been consistently moving towards more affordable solutions. We were then on Google Compute Engine, which I think is just like Amazon's EC2. The problem there is that they take a bit longer to spin up. And so the actual act of like taking our data and building lineups is like pretty resource intensive. So we pretty much spin up one of those instances every time someone does it. But because there was like a 45 seconds lag in the startup time, we wanted to make sure we had a big enough like backlog or queue of these instances just running and ready to take builds. But like that added a ton of logic. And so we finally switched over primarily to Cloud Functions, which are much, it's basically just like a mini version of, they run on the same servers and all of that stuff, like behind the scenes, but like you can just basically give it code and it will execute that code very quickly.
Like AWS Lambda.
Exactly. That's exactly the comparable thing. And so these start up in, it's not as fast as App Engine, but like almost it's in seconds, which is like 10 seconds maybe. And like, that's fine for our customers. And these just scale with like zero logic on our part for the most part. Like we still have Compute Engine instances behind them in case something messes up there, but like it works very well. And we have been testing it out with the other sports. But this was the first kind of kickoff that we had had with this fully set up. We had like, we beat our previous record of like number of lineup builds done in a day by like almost probably like 80%. And like there were no hiccups there.
Nice.
So yeah, sorry for like the technical derail, but that's kind of the biggest thing we've done, and it made a huge impact. And we just feel way more comfortable scaling with that. So yeah, we haven't like exactly quantified it, but it's just such a big obvious improvement that we're still very happy with that change.
Yeah, that's cool. And I don't think a like formal retro is necessary in any stretch. I think it's just nice to say like, you know, you as like the founding team are happy, right? And like shit didn't break, and like that's all. Yeah. Like I think a formal retro, we don't do formal retros either, but just like, hey, this went good, this went bad. Maybe next time we can do a little bit of this is nice. So it sounds like y'all were there. So that's cool.
Yeah. No, so that's been great. But it was just, on the other side of it has just been figuring out, because again, there are these huge opportunities for us to capitalize. We know at the start of every season, there's going to be a big influx of trials. And it's just trying to get our roadmap in a place to really capitalize on that. And it's tough. And I honestly dropped the ball on this one where we had some bug came up. We basically have rewritten the front end, except for like one good chunk of it. And a bug came up that was like caused by this chunk of the code. Matt, the guy that built everything originally, and who is our head of product and basically the lead developer as well, was able to put like a Band-Aid fix in there, but was just like not confident in it. And like with all these sports starting up, we wanted a more durable thing in there. So our front end consultant we've been working on for a while thought he could do the refactor in about a week. His estimates have been like pretty good so far. So this was like early August. We're like, all right, like let's just knock this out, then we can get back on all these like product related things that we know people are going to be asking for come football season. It blew up in a project and it turned into a 4-week thing that we just are wrapping up now. So like that sucked. Like that honestly is kind of, I take the blame for not time boxing it and not saying at the end of that week, just be like, look guys, like we'll do this later. But like we have to get to these other things first, and then kind of in the downtime can get back to this. But it wasn't the sunk cost fallacy, but it's like so many of the other updates we had planned depended on that refactor. So like if we built them without having that done, we'd have to rebuild them when we got to it. And then it was just like at a certain point, it's like, all right, we just have to finish this. But like we have a huge update to our mobile version of the site, and just the UX in general. And like that was my top priority by far. A ton of the more casual players play exclusively on their phones. And while you could use their site on the phone, it wasn't a good experience. And I thought if we really had that keyed in, that would be make like a significant impact to growth, trial conversions. We weren't able to get that done. But yeah, and a lot of other things got pushed back. So like that's the hard thing. I mean, prioritization is just always hard, but like estimates are so crucial to like, cause like if you have no idea how long something is going to take, you can't prioritize. Like you have to have some reasonable kind of litmus of like, okay, how big of a project is this before you can kind of look at the calculation of how it all fits in.
Yeah. With this, do you guys do that? How do you guys say, like, is it just Matt saying like, okay, this will take me a week or 3 weeks or whatever, and you say, oh, but I want to slide this other thing in because it only take 2 days? Like, how do you guys do that and make that decision?
Yeah, so that's pretty close to it. I think this is where like my background as a professional gambler like comes in. Like through poker, through betting and kind of everything else I've done over a decade plus, like I'm always like the casual better is just like, oh, this team, they're a lock, they're gonna win. They're not thinking about the odds, they're not thinking about anything else. Like they're just think this team's gonna win. Or whatever else it may be. Like people aren't really like evaluating the actual bet in front of them because the odds change it dramatically. If you bet $100 to win 100, you have to win 50% of the time to break even. But if you have to bet 100 to win $50, it changes. And the odds matter a ton because in sports, in all of life, practically like outcomes are not like a binary thing. It's not either it works or it doesn't. It's like even sure things can fail. Like, and so you have to kind of think probabilistically about it. And so for a lot of this, that's just kind of something that I'm more, I don't know if naturally is the right word, but it's just something I've refined is just a more intuitive approach for how I think about this. And so with Matt, yeah, every week, basically Matt and I will have a call for about an hour where we go over Notion, which just has like a brain dump of everything we want to work on. And I try to kind of come in and say, okay, here kind of are, we don't have like a grand vision. We don't have like years out. But like, I try to think at least like, I think in terms of phases where it's like, all right, right now we want to get to the spot where there is no reason for anyone to choose another daily fantasy lineup optimizer over us, where we have the functionality, we have everything else, and there's no like functional reason for someone to choose someone over us. That's like phase one. And so then I can kind of group all of our tasks around that to where I feel like, okay, when we get to here, we've achieved that. Then there's the prediction side, our models that are projecting the outcomes, and there are separate services that only do that piece. And so we then want to be the best at that. And then there's like beyond that, it gets hazy and like it's trying to figure out what do we want to do with the business. But like I kind of think in phases and then can break those down a little bit. So like I will loosely organize Notion like around that. But then every week things break, like life gets in the way, like fires start, everything else around a business happens. And I'm like, okay, like we now added like 10 things to this list that we never were thinking about before, but have to get done, or we figure out if they do. And then Matt and I will kind of work through it. I'll come in with a game plan. He and I will talk about it. And then, yeah, it's when it comes to the programming stuff, which is really all that we're focused on. It's just asking him like roughly how long do you think this will take? But Matt also, like, he created the tool from a passion for for daily fantasy sports, for sports in general, and like knows the space very well. And he's probably closer to the more casual players than I am, whereas like my partners on this are professionals. It's like I know the power user side of it, but he's probably closer to the like the prosumer side of it. And so he has great input, and we really just oftentimes like talk through like, do these things matter? We have like, there's usually a list of a couple things that came up that like we feel we have to get done, whether it's a bug or that's sort of really impacting things, or something broke, whatever it is. So we're like, all right, how do we fit these things in? What can get pushed back? How important are those things? Then now that we have other developers working with us, it's like, what should they be working on? How much time of you, like how much of your time is going to be spent on that? I mean, it gets super complicated, but like at the highest level, what I'm trying to think about is like, all right, first, do these things need to get done? Like, what is the outcome that's going to come from achieving this? Like, is it going to just like make work more sane so that like we don't have a new list of 10 things that get added to Notion every single week from all broken shit? Like, there's value there. Like, is this going to help with conversions? Those are kind of the two big categories. Like, or just all these other things that come up, like, okay, like this is a bug. Is it worth fixing? Like, has anyone else ever run into this? Like, should they even like be getting to this case where it comes up? And then it's also like balancing that with like, are there more profitable things we could be spending our time on? And this kind of, for me, like really sunk in having like a high cost hourly contractor, where Brian's over $100 an hour, he's well worth it. But like I think I'm like with meetings and with all this other, these other things that come up, I'm like, oh, like this is not at all worth the time for this. And so it's just like got me into a clear mindset of like, is there a payout for this? Is this just something that I want done, but I don't have a real reason for it? Sometimes I'll still have him do those things, but like it makes it easier for me now to like, when the support tickets come in that I'm dealing with, like I can kind of freak out when I'm like, oh, like two or three people today emailed about this, like we should really focus on this, but then like no one else is emailing about that other days and things like that. So long story short, I don't have a clear process for this. It's something that like I'm working on being more and more deliberate about, but I do think deliberately about this, and it is something I'm always trying to balance. And truly, that's why like I can't imagine like trying to lock into like even a 6 week sprint, the shape up period, whatever terms are called now. But like, because we're just always, so much is changing that we're always constantly kind of adjusting these priorities around that.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, man. I mean, I think, we do a very similar thing. We try to do it on a slightly longer timeline. We do try to follow the shape up kind of 6 weeks on and 2 weeks off thing. But within that, it's pretty flexible. Like, it's definitely not written in stone. It's written with pencil that and a big old huge eraser next to it. So, I mean, we do, but just because like, and this is something that I don't know how y'all handle. I mean, we have a lot of stuff that takes longer than a week. Almost everything we're doing now takes longer than a week. So like meeting multiple times, you know, meeting every week for us is not helpful in that regard. That like if we meet every week, and we do, just to kind of catch up, you know, they're saying, yeah, I'm still working on this. And yeah, it's pretty much on track. Okay, great. You know, but like we don't need to have that discussion about like what are we working on right now, because they're still working on that thing.
How do you judge progress? Like, is it something where it's truly like, because this is where, as like a non-technical leader, I get like some anxiety. I have to like push back on the micromanaging tendencies and this and that, but it's just like I hate seeing like we follow like a loose Kanban in Notion of like what's in progress and so on, but like I just hate seeing cards not moving. Because I'm like, what is going on? It's like we've tried to like break things down into more bite-sized things, where it's like I don't want anything that could take a week in Notion. maybe we'll have like an index card that says like, here's a big project, but break it down so we can like see progress and like get a sense of pace. But like, how are you just less anal than me? Like, are you just like say like, all right, like you say it's moving along fine, like awesome? Or how do you think about that?
No, I mean, so like from a reporting perspective, like we use this tool called Stand Uply in Slack. So it automatically pings everyone at 10 a.m. their local time for like, what did you do yesterday? What are you doing today? And do you have anything, you know, holding you back? And so everybody answers that. And so for the developers, I read those every day. I read them for everybody, but I really kind of pay attention to them for the developers to know like, where are they and do they need help? If they need help, they would ping me or each other. But kind of generally something we try to do, and we've done it well sometimes and we've not done it well sometimes, is we try to push a feature in multiple parts. So like, like when we release the Castos Productions thing, so right, it's like podcast motor inside of the Castos app where customers can like submit an episode for editing and we send it back to them and they can preview it there and revision requests and all this kind of stuff. We pushed like the API, internal API code first, and then we pushed the kind of backend controller code second, and then we pushed the front end as like quote going live. And that helps. And I say we try to do this because it just doesn't work for some things, but when we're able to do this, it's really nice because we push the backend stuff. We have unit tests and other tests that kind of help support that is working right if we're using it and testing it. And then the front end stuff that the customers see only goes live once the other stuff has been in the app for a while and hasn't broken other things. But doing that lets us say like, this is going to take a month, but like the API stuff will take a week. The back end controller stuff will take another week. The front end stuff will take a week, and then a week for, you know, testing and stuff. That helps a lot because I think it makes our developers feel better, and it certainly, it certainly makes me feel better about, like you're saying, like I want to see stuff moving all the time. Partly because like we get to share it with our customers, you know? And so even if it's like, hey, we put this live, it's behind the scenes, sometimes we share that kind of stuff. So that's what we do. But then also like we have a weekly kind of all hands, like all team call. And the development team gives an update on what they're doing. And it's kind of like a summation of those daily stand-ups of like, hey, I did this, I did this, I did this. We're here. This next week, we're going to be doing this and this and this. And at that point, I say typically every week, okay, you told me we were a week for this or 2 weeks for this. How are you feeling? And like, kind of like the mindset when you go into like a brainstorming session is like there's no wrong answers, you know, like, please be honest,
right,
and as forthright as possible with your estimates and with where you are in terms of progress as you're implementing, because most of why I'm asking this is so that marketing and support are ready when they need to be. Not just that I want features all the time, because I do, but like everybody else is waiting on developers and we just need to be ready so that like it doesn't come the day where like the feature's ready and marketing hasn't started on their stuff yet and support has no idea what the thing does. So that's kind of what we do a bit. And I wish it was better, but it's decent. Yeah.
But I feel like, yeah, we're on this front of things, like just had kind of pretty different places where like I, right now, a lot of the reason why will break down, like I hearing about a month-long project, like if anyone told me anything would take a month, I would just say we're not doing it, like just outright, like there's just like too many things we need to do, where I just can't look at the roadmap, at like the development calendar, like block off a month where like this is what we're doing. And so it's just like that's where it's just really tough, where I do feel like we have more work we need to do to get to kind of, again, I know it won't be feature complete, but it'll be like feature enough. We're like, we're not there yet. I think for a good segment of our customers, we are, but we're not where we want to be on features. And like, there's still a ton of like requests that come in, like, yeah, we should do that. And so for us, it's just like, we have to break down those massive projects into more bite-sized things, because we know so much else is going to get added to the plate during that month that like we're going to have to get pulled off this anyway. So let's try to find ways where we can focus on something bite-size-ish, get that done. So we don't just have constant context switching because like that kills everything. And so, yeah, for us, I think a lot of my aversion to like these long, like to like making sure it's smaller projects isn't even just to see movement, but it's just to know like we can wrap this up and move to something else, because I don't know how many, we've gotten a lot better about this, but there's so many like half finished things that we just didn't have the bandwidth to finish because just more important things came up, even if it means putting that on a shelf. Like, and I, that's just like the worst is when you just have all these half finished things done. And so that, I mean, and that's kind of what makes the prioritization in general just so difficult is everything else that comes up just in the day-to-day of running the business. Like if we could just like not if we just operate in a vacuum, just like push forward on things, be a billion times easier. Like it would just be, that'd be heaven. Yeah. But it's like, all right, we're doing this as like, we're trying to change the wheel as the car is on the highway. And it really feels like that right now for us. And I think that's kind of what drives right now a lot of the way I view these things, is just being ruthless, as ruthless as I can about like what we're doing when and what we're not doing, but just changing things like week to week when new priorities emerge.
Yeah. I mean, I think that it's cool that we're saying the same thing. It's just a slightly different timeline, because we... Yep. Pivot massively from one cycle to another. And even within a cycle, we have, you know, we have five or six things we want to do. Those five or six things change a lot within that cycle. Yep. But it's just kind of, we group in the 6-week on cycle, we want to get these things done. I think today, this is what that priority is. But I mean, literally, we had one go from fourth place to first place last week. And so it's just like, yeah, I mean, it's, I think it's our advantage as small modern companies against our competitors that we're able to do that, you know, based on calls with customers or support tickets or shit that other companies are doing, or you know, kind of like what you saw like with COVID, like your industry changing. Yeah. I think that's huge. And so whatever, I think maybe the lesson like for folks is like, whatever your timeline is, right, if you're Basecamp, it's 6 months, you know, for us very loosely we try to fit into this 6-week cycle, and for you it's a week, but you're still we're all still talking about the same thing, I think.
No, for sure. And I think the big thing is just like you said, figuring out the timeline for you and what fits in your business. When like if your hair's on fire kind of all the time like ours is, like it's gonna be a shorter timeline. And then and part of your prioritization is finding like working in projects that will kind of help put those fires out over time so that like slowly things get more sane. But one thing I was curious about is like, how big picture are you thinking about for like the future of Castodos? Like you don't necessarily have it like, I'm sure you don't have like broken down in like very specific phases like I do, or maybe you do, but like, how are you thinking about like what you're working towards, kind of a step above like the features and the actual like day-to-day part of it?
Yeah, I really like the phases that you talked about because it aligns with goals really well, I think. That like when you get to this point, you probably will be at this kind of goal, you know, like revenue or stability and like peacefulness goal.
Right.
And then like things are different and things get easier once you get to that point, I think, because risk is different too. You know, like when you're the best tool or you're an obvious good tool, then right. The risk of it all going to zero is very different. And I don't know that we're there, but I mean, I think lately, I guess we have two big buckets that we're focusing a lot on, and they're entirely new features. But they also kind of talk to entirely different types of customers. And I think that we are really early in both of them. And we're trying to get to that point that you mentioned of like, we want to be the obvious choice for this and this. And so that's, I guess that's how I think about it, is like, we're starting down these roads. They're really different. They serve different types of customers. But I think when we get to the point where we feel like this is a good tool, there's no reason anyone wouldn't choose this, I will feel a little lost again. Because, when you and I started talking about this podcast, a lot of it was me feeling lost of, and this is a whole nother episode of like, what do I do? You know, because we didn't have this direction. Now we have two of these directions. But I think, and like Andy, when you get there, you might feel like, okay, like the house is not on fire. What do I do? We're definitely not like, I'm very heads down on these two things right now. And when we get there, I know I'll feel lost a little.
Yeah. And this is something I've gotten much better about, just by like necessity, because so many things break and so many fires to put out, where like I used to just always think of like the grand vision and like, what are we ultimately trying to build 5+ years from now? Like, what are we working towards? And I still like keep that in the back of my mind. And like, well, every once in a while I'll sit down and kind of like write things out about like what I've learned and like how I see that changing things. But like, day to day, I just like cannot let things that far off, even a year plus out, like impact how I'm prioritizing things, because like there's so, I need to deal with what's on my plate today in this week, in this month, in this quarter. And like, yeah. So like, I think it'll be when we get there, as we get closer, then I'll probably be able to set aside some more bandwidth to think about what's next. But like right now, just not even trying to worry about that, 'cause like there's a lot we have to do. But I hope we covered a lot on just how we prioritize, how we have frameworks-ish that work for us, but still figuring things out. And it's just always a work and challenge. But I think there's a lot more we can kind of dig into on future episodes. But I'm glad we're able to kind of unpack our thoughts on this and kind of give people some updates as well.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. It was a lot of fun, as always. And if anybody has any questions, shoot us a message, seekingscale.com.